Hello, good morning, everybody. It is such a good morning. I have waited a year just for this day, but 10 years of life given by Michael Bovill. Today's a very special day. A lot of good things going on here. I'm joined by my co-host, Senator David Carlucci.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Good morning, everyone, and happy anniversary to Roxanne. And this is a great day.
Yes, it absolutely is. We've been doing this countdown for a year now to this 10-year anniversary, and it's been some journey. A lot of you know the journey, and we're going to go over a few things today, but we're not going to dwell on the past. We're going on to the future. I'm going to try not to be too emotional today. I'm going to try hard, but this is really, really special. We say it every week, but it's really, really special. I'm going to be joined by some great people today. Obviously, I'm very honored to have Senator Carlucci here with me, and my donor dad is going to call. Is that him, Steve? My donor dad just got on the line, and Mark Juddleson's going to be here too. He's the author of Michael's Legacy, a new book that everybody's asking about. It's coming out like within a week or two here, and you'll be able to get the whole story of Michael. Get Michael's story, because you often get my story, but you don't get his. And so that's why we have John Bovill here today. John, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. So good to be with you guys.
I know we're giving you a workout, boy. Every 5 minutes, there's some media chasing you this week.
Oh, that's just wonderful. To get the word out is just the way to go.
Yeah. And so we don't even know where to start. There's just so much. First, we want you to tell us about Michael. How about that? That's a good place to start.
Sure. Well, he was our first of four, and what a joy. I don't think there's anything greater excitement for a dad to have a baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
And to start out that way was just a beautiful way to start our venture in parenting.
Okay.
And then we had three girls after. Mm-hmm. But Michael was—he was just a sweet kid, even as a little baby. I remember sleeping through the night at an early age, and never really gave us trouble. And he was just an awesome little kid. Had fun growing up with him. I was young; I was 23 when I had him. So
wow.
I was a ball of fire and played with him. And you know, I think I had the footballs and the baseballs and everything before he even came out. So
ready for that boy, yeah.
Yeah. So I just had so many wonderful good memories growing up, coaching Little League with him and hanging out with him. And then we joined the ministry in 1998. He was probably around 14 or so.
Okay.
And he just jumped right in along with us and helped out with construction. We started homeschooling because of the ministry time frame. It wasn't anything against public schools at all, because I'm all for public schools.
Okay.
But homeschooling was just, it just worked for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a really cool education, homeschooled in the morning, actually, you know, the mathematics and everything. And then in the afternoons, he would hang out with the maintenance guys and the different people at the resorts and camps that I worked at.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a construct. That's where your love for construction came in, because he hung out at the Home Depots and he hung out with the Regis guys, and we built an addition on one of the houses we lived in the Ozark Mountains, and what a cool way to live. But he also had a love for being a fireman.
Yes.
I think even as a little kid, I think his first word was a truck.
I know. Mom told us that story. That was awesome.
Yeah, so he loved fire trucks and wanted to be a fireman, so he went off to a college in Pocahontas, Arkansas, fire science school, and graduated 2 years later. In the meantime, we had moved to New Jersey, so he definitely wanted to come back to New Jersey with us to be a family. He loved family. He loved his girls, his sisters,
yeah,
and especially his mom. He had a unique relationship with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. But yeah, he moved back to New Jersey with us. Found out that it's so difficult in North Jersey, as you probably guys know, in New York, to become a fireman.
Absolutely.
So he said a nephew invited him to be a part of the Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. He was working as a mechanic for helicopters, but his main goal was I think his rate was even fireman. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool how everything worked out. Yeah. And again, that's when we got that tragic phone call.
Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say what it was like. It's like a horror.
Well, you know, I think you always think of, well, it'll never happen to us. It always happens to that family or this family.
Yeah.
But when it hit home, wow, it was devastating. How do you explain something that just rocks your world? And, you know, 2:00 in the morning, you get a phone call and say, we're doing everything we can for your son, but you need to get to the hospital. And we made our way to the Harlem Hospital on the 15th floor, and that's where we got the news that the neurosurgeon said there's very little that they could do the next day. That was on a Sunday night. He was home for the weekend,
right?
From leave. He was in the Coast Guard at this time. Any time off that he would just love to come home and hang out with his sisters and his family and his friends. He was plugged into church and things like that, so he loved to come home. Mm-hmm. And he was heading back on a Sunday night to Eaton's Neck in Long Island, and he had to cross over the George Washington Bridge. He was on his motorcycle. He was, you know, totally safe. He had his leather jacket, his boots, and everything like that, his backpack. Something went wrong. Mm-hmm. We really don't know. They did an investigation. It was more than likely a hit and run.
Right.
His bike went down the road, and where the divider is on the other, you know, as you enter into New York.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he hit the barrier, and his bike went down the road. So his bike didn't get a little damage, but he did.
Yeah.
Cracked his helmet and had serious brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So we all met up at the hospital, and the next day on Monday, they did do a procedure of trying to relieve some pressure from his brain.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors really didn't give us a lot of hope. He said, we're going to do everything possible so there is no doubt in our minds that we have done everything we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think either Tuesday morning, I think the Live On New York people approached us.
Right.
And again, I think we've said this before in unison.
Say it again.
My wife and I both said, absolutely, this is what he would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so respectful. That's got to be a very difficult
job
thing for them to do, to approach a grieving family members with a lost or soon-to-be lost loved one.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a very unique person to
absolutely.
Be able to approach that with dignity and respect and honor. But that's what it was. They didn't make us feel uncomfortable. It was really about education, and you were talking about that the other day, about we're just ignorant of it. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And when they approached us, we really didn't know the details of what that looks like to donate an organ,
mm-hmm.
and how many people can actually save, how many one person can actually save.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so powerful to really learn and understand what was that all about. I even had someone ask me a question. Well, do they feel anything when they harvest the? How do you know what they're actually passed away, or how do you know? Do they feel anything when they harvest the organs?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer would be, oh, absolutely no. They would not do anything without the state of whatever they're in to declare them.
Right.
And then once it's declared, it's just the machines keeping their body functioning.
Yeah. I'm glad you
said
that.
So the organs don't perish. Is that correct?
Yes, because so many people will see a person on a ventilator or something, and they see their you know, chest rising and falling,
sure.
and thinking that they're still alive and they're breathing, but no, it's the machine.
Mm.
It's absolutely
correct.
The machine.
That's
And you know what's good to hear, that you were treated with such respect by Live On New York.
Oh, they really were. They were top-notch professional. And again, the relationship that we have now is such a beautiful thing. So much compassion and understanding and just love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough.
Hey, John, it's Senator David Carlucci. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I know we've met before over at Roxanne's house, and I'm just so grateful for your support of Roxanne and all gotcha. She's doing. And I was going to ask, and you shared that about what your experience was with organ donation prior to giving the permission for Michael's organs, and that's really interesting. So really, you hadn't had conversations, you really didn't know much about it, if I understand you correctly.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Senator, and all that you do, and that you support Roxanne and this movement. Thank you so kindly for all that you do, and what a pleasure it was to meet you in person.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, that is true. We really didn't understand the depth of what organ donation was. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Other than, when you get old and you pass away, you may be able to donate your organs, and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
But until they sat down and really took the time to explain in detail, and I think more so for us, it was, wow, the especially a young life, unfortunately, I know this was a tragedy, I know we were in grief, but I was mindful enough to know that he wanted to continue to give life to
Absolutely.
Others.
Mm. Absolutely.
He dedicated his life to save people as a fireman in the Coast Guard and whatnot. And I we just knew that this was the right thing to do, but we weren't really sure how to go about that and what it meant and how many people he could actually save.
Right.
And then, my goodness, a year later, we got to meet the four of the five recipients. That's unheard of, and knowing the fact we are so blessed,
mm-hmm.
and I know, and I'm so sorry for parents who have a loved one that has they lost, and they don't have that opportunity. But
yeah.
just know that if they were organ donations, life continues to give life.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, and as many of you guys might know or do know that. We 11 months, it was really 11 months almost to the day that our friend Miss Oprah found us.
Yes.
And we always like to say we got to meet our donor family in front of a small crowd of 14 million people.
Oh, that was such an incredible day.
Oh, God. I'm getting, the goosebumps right now every time
when
I think about
that. We walked out on stage, Roxanne, and
I
we
was
saw
shocked.
You. I couldn't help but embrace you and hug you. It was just the most fascinating.
It was. It was one of the best days
beautiful.
Of my life. It really was to meet you guys and not know that we were meeting you. We have a few calls already.
Right, the whole board is full. So
okay, we're full. So we're going to take some of these calls. John, I want you to stay on the whole time, okay?
Ed Day, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Roxanne, how we doing?
We are doing fabulous. We are 10 years old today.
Happy Heartversary.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to make sure I called in and just wish you the best and just really thank you for everything you've been doing on the organ donation front. You've been I always called you the one-woman wrecking crew when it comes to getting donations.
Tell everybody who you are, because a lot of our people are from all over the world.
Oh, okay. This is Governor Mario Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. No, this is County Executive Ed Day. I figured they'd notice my Brooklyn accent by now. But you've been an amazing woman. You've done such phenomenal work in this area. I remember meeting you for the first time way back when we were at Rockland Lake State Park and we were trying to get electronic donations approved. And Doug Jobson and I, we were in the legislature at the time. We put a resolution in to support some state legislation, and it went through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people along the way that were there for us and are no longer with us. And Mortara, for example, what a sweetheart of a lady.
Yeah, and Paul.
She battled against CF for so many years.
She did.
But, just an amazing bunch of people, and blessed to know all of you. And I just want to call and just
thank
acknowledge
you.
A very special day today. And
thank you so
I love
much.
You, and we'll see each other again soon as usual.
Yep. Thank you so much, Ed, for calling in.
All right.
My county executive, awesome. And who's there now? Hello? Are you there?
I'm with you.
Oh, that's John. Okay. We got anybody else, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else is out here? Hello?
It's Mark Shuttleson.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, what an exciting day.
How about that? Is this awesome or what?
Hey, Mark, glad to have you.
Mark, tell everybody who you are and what you do.
About 4 years ago, I met Roxanne for an article that I was writing for one of the county newspapers, and that opened the door to this whole picture of organ donation and the whole story of Michael and all of the recipients that whose lives he saved. And after the article was published, I asked Roxanne's permission to talk with Michael's parents. She put me in touch with Livon New York. So then I talked with John and Jelaine. Then I talked with Michael's sister. Then I talked with his Coast Guard friends and commanders, the station commander, the the admiral, his roommate. And then through Livon New York, started interviewing the organ recipients, their families, their clergy members, their friends. And a book is about to be available called Michael's Legacy, Transcending Life and Death, that incorporates all the pictures from these 27 individuals whose lives were touched by Michael.
Mm-hmm. And when are we going to be released? Do we know yet?
The book should be in hand at the publishers within a week or two.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And available through their website, which is Mascot, mascotbooks.com. Mm-hmm. And that's available within 1 or 2 weeks after the books are actually at the publishers.
Nice.
I have 100 copies myself. Within a week or two.
Nice, because everybody's asking. So you will put all that information on my Facebook page? Would that be good, Mark?
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay, because there's a lot of people that are not here in New York that are our followers and friends, and everybody's asking, when's the book? When's the book?
Yeah, our family's asking as well, so that would be wonderful. Thank you, Mark, and your dedication to this
story. And the cover
is incredible.
Photograph of Rock.
Oh, the cover is amazing.
Photograph.
We put that up on Facebook. That cover is amazing. Thanks to Colette Fournier for her beautiful picture there, and I mean, it's just we'll post it again today because it the cover is just fabulous, and I know what's in there is good too.
And Mark, it's Senator David Carlucci. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for writing this book. I'm really looking forward to reading it. What would you say? What are some of the key takeaways that you really felt were pivotal throughout the story?
It's a great question. Thank you, David. One of the pictures is that it seems to be a book about organ donation, but I think the overriding picture of the book, the overriding theme of the book, has to do with kindness and love.
Hmm.
And that it was that kindness and love was manifested by these 27 people in very different, unique, individual ways. From Michael's parents, the generosity of John and Jelaine was overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Asking them to go into some very painful places where they were willing to go and open and share their stories.
Mm-hmm.
With the organ recipients, including Roxanne and Kellen, and then to hear from, for instance, Roxanne's cardiologist, whose name is Julia Shin, said, I need to maintain an emotional distance from my patients, otherwise it would become overwhelming. But when I met Roxanne, I loved her so much that I told my colleagues, because I know that we have the same blood type, that if I died, I wanted my heart to go to Roxanne.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow, that's powerful.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I said I wasn't going to cry today.
That's powerful.
And then the cardiovascular surgeon, Dr. David D'Alessandro, who actually did the transplant, I was describing the process of transplanting a heart from one person to another. as he was telling me about it, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. It was so awe-inspiring to hear this story. It's so dynamic and powerful. And I asked him, does magic or beauty or awe play a role in the work that you do? And he said, no. And I said, I was disappointed by that. And he said, my job is to as impeccably, technically, perfectly perform these very intricate tasks. And if I was distracted by beauty or magic or awe in the midst of that, it would interfere with the work that I need to be doing as technically, perfectly as I possibly can. Hmm. I thought that was a unique statement of objective love and play.
Great guy. He is now the head of the transplant department in Boston. I think Boston General. Just amazing surgeon. Just amazing guy. I know the day that he came to me and spoke to me, when they were kind of sure but not positive, he came and sat down on the side of my bed and said, you know, are you ready for your new life? Mm-hmm. I remember that. I just remember that. And I was like, hell yeah.
Amen.
I had been in that hospital at that point almost... It was 104 days altogether, wow. But it was 78 days when he came to me and said that. And I said, yep, I'm ready. Mm. And he says, all right, let's do it. And walked out, and that was it. Next time I saw him was in the operating room with a whole crowd of people. There were 18 people in that
Roxanne,
room.
Roxanne, didn't he say that it was almost like a perfect fit?
He said that he dropped it in, and before he finished sewing, it was beating.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He said it was, and they were worried because Michael was physically so much bigger than I was, and at that point I was 95 pounds, so
wow.
They were really worried that it wasn't going to fit. But he said my old heart was like a football. He said it was so bad, it was gigantic, and that Michael's heart was able to fit perfectly right in there.
You know what's amazing to think of now? It's a decade later, yeah. And how. There's been so many advancements in technology and medicine, and think about how the procedure itself, the technology that the surgeons have available has become even more, it's been become easier.
Right.
And that's what reminds me about the real cause that you have in signing people up, because as we see the advancements in modern medicine are just amazing, but yet we're still seeing about 20 people pass away every day
it's
waiting.
Terrible.
The technology is there. The resources are there. It's just people being cognizant of the fact of signing up to be an organ donor still lags far behind.
And that's what we need. That's why we do the work that we do. Yeah. We're going to take another. I mean, the whole board is lit up here. Thank you, guys. We're going to try to start taking as many as we can take. We good to go, Steve?
Got a lot of people on the line. I hope people who are on hold don't are not offended about what I'm going to do, but I think this lady needs to go next.
Okay.
All right.
Hello, who's this?
Roxanne?
Yes.
Hi, it's Donna Gorman-Silberman from the county clerk's office.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? I'm calling to wish you a happy anniversary.
Thank you. Is this exciting or what?
This is very exciting. Very exciting.
You want to hold her? Because the lady that I wanted to come on... Mm-hmm. I think I may have pressed the wrong button.
Okay. Let me
No, just stay there, Donna, stay there, but I think we have her. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Roxanne?
Yes.
Hi, Roxanne, it's Marissa.
Oh, it's my sister.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy anniversary, dear.
Thank you so much. I'm sitting here with Senator Carlucci, and I've got goosebumps.
Hey, Marissa, how you doing?
Hi, Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good. Thanks. Is my dad on the line, too?
Yep.
Yes, I am. Hi, honey.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
Where are you, Marissa?
I'm in Colorado. I'm in Dale, Colorado. Yeah.
So what do you want to say about your brother today?
I just want to say that you really sparked his memory, and his heart is still living on because of you, and we're just so happy. Yeah. We're so happy that you get to share life with him. And
he's healthy. He's so healthy. I got great checkups the last 2 weeks. Everything is perfect, and I mean, the doctors are just so happy, and I'm happy, obviously, but we're taking good care of Michael.
Oh, good. That's so nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Are you still in New York?
Yes. I'm in the same exact place. Didn't go anywhere. Good. I'm in the same place.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And we just traveled everywhere.
I love that. I was listening to Mark earlier, and mm-hmm. that was really special.
Yes. I can't wait.
I know. I'm so excited. I can't wait to look on Facebook. I want to see the cover again. I don't know if I saw.
I'm going to put it
before.
Up when we go home. I'm going to put it up again today so people can
awesome.
See it. You got
That's
it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Well, wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael was so special, and we're so happy that you get to carry that on and live through that. So we're so happy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for calling early in the
morning. Yeah, thank you, Marissa.
Oh, you're so welcome. We wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah, I love you guys. I love you, Dad. Thank you so much, Senator.
Oh, thank you, honey.
You guys are so sweet.
You got it. Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Love you, everybody.
Love you, too. Right back.
Bye.
Yeah, that's the family that Michael came from. He just loved his sisters, and it you can tell that just the love of our family, and that is that's a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
I think that's the best gift that God ever gave us.
Hmm. Is Donna still there?
I'm still here.
Donna, we really miss Paul.
Oh, I know. We do, too. And I know he would be on this phone call now.
He would be here in the studio with Senator Carlucci. All of us would be here.
Hi, Senator.
Hey,
how are
Donna,
you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling. And it's so true. We got to really, step into Paul's footsteps.
Absolutely.
And continue that legacy. And I know you're doing a great job there.
Thank
holding
you.
Down the fort.
Thank you.
But that was the thing. You know, it's like, that's where a lot of the ideas came from.
Mm-hmm.
Was just, taking the routine things that are done at the county clerk's office and seeing, hey, how could we add value to this?
Right.
I know I met Lauren Shields at a naturalization ceremony 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's where we got Lauren's Law going.
Yeah,
and
that was the best
and
thing.
All the, you know, with
and that's
with
when I
Tara
met you.
And we met at that as well. And it's the facilitator. So it's, you never know where you can use those opportunities to mm-hmm. bridge that. And I think about all the people that Roxanne and Tara and Mike Pendergast have communicated to all the new naturalized citizens in our community.
Right.
Best thing we do.
You probably talked to thousands of people over the past decade, just in that facility, just in that setting. So just all those opportunities, it's great to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you did a really nice, good work with the whole heart, organ donation.
Yes.
And Roxanne's our superstar. I mean, if it wasn't for Roxanne, I don't think I would have ever become an organ donor.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you put people, once you see the people that can be saved, it's a really nice feeling. And I became an organ donor because of Roxanne.
Thank
and
you.
Lauren. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're lucky. We have some great people in this county. And we are so proud to say that we are the fastest growing county for organ donation in entire New York State, and that's a big thing.
Yeah, and you have some record of recruiting organ donors,
chasing people all over the county.
There you go. You keep up that great work.
You got it, and you do too. And
okay,
you know you got my vote, so don't worry ever about that.
Thank you. You have
Thanks
a wonderful
lot.
Heart anniversary today.
Thank you.
Take
so
care.
Much. Thank you so much.
I love you, girls.
Love you too.
All right. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the main points that I'd love to share is this crosses all barriers, right, of faith and religion and race and
race.
Whatnot.
Absolutely.
Just the lives that Michael touched and was able to save, from Chinese gentlemen to a Hispanic little girl and to
a Jewish man.
Exactly.
Everything. All of us. Every single one of us was completely different in religion, in race, in age. I mean, it's just, that's why we love to tell this story at Naturalization. Out of all the things I do, and you guys know I've done tons of things, my favorite thing always is the naturalization ceremony. To stand on that stage and see people from 50 countries, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's amazing. And they're smiling, absolutely. And they're happy, and they have their flags, and they're crying, and they're happy to be Americans. And that's probably, my favorite thing to do, is speak evangelization.
Oh, that's incredible.
And then just to, you know, when they come by the first time to the table, they go, I'm not sure. And when we finish with them, they come back to that table and sign up, and that's a beautiful thing.
The story is very powerful. Yes, that it does. It crosses all bridges of. We're all created equal by God, and that's the shell of it.
Absolutely. Mm. And who else is out there? Mark's still out there?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, what I'd like to do is tell a couple of stories about Michael that I heard.
Absolutely.
Because it so mirrors what you're doing, Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
I asked John and Jelaine, tell me about Michael, and John told this story that Michael was perhaps one of the physically fittest of the recruits at his Coast Guard boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then John said, and he usually finished tied for last in all the physical training exercises, which didn't quite make a lot of sense to me, and I asked him to explain it, and he said it's because he hung back to help out the ones who were struggling the most.
Amazing.
Isn't that a picture of what you're doing now, Roxanne?
I hope so.
It really is.
And then one of his friends told me a story that they were working for a landscaping company together. They had worked at this home of an older gentleman who had asked them to repair his skylights.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it because they were working for the landscaping company, and they told the older gentleman that they couldn't do it because it wasn't on their work order,
mm-hmm.
that they had other jobs to do. So when they finished their work day, Michael said to his friend, now we can go help out the old gentleman. They went back and they fixed the skylights.
It's amazing.
At the end of a 10-hour workday in the middle of the summer, when they could have gone home and hung out and played ping pong, Michael said, now's our chance to help this guy.
This kind of guy he was. I keep hearing more stories about him. He's the kind of guy he was. We got to take one commercial here right now. Everybody hold those lines. We'll be right back with you, okay? Hello, how are you doing today?
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Are you an organ donor?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Yes, I am.
Yay! My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Hello, we are back. We have John Bovill, Michael's dad is here, Senator Carlucci, Mark Juddleson, the whole crowd is here. And Senator Carlucci wants to say something.
So I have this proclamation on behalf of the New York State Senate to honor Roxanne Watson on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of her heart transplant. And it's exciting. You know, Roxanne's been up to the Senate chamber, to the Assembly chamber up in Albany, and has lobbied on a multitude of different policies, funding, all centered around this extremely important issue. So I just wanted to take a quick minute, and I'm going to summarize this proclamation because it is a little bit long, but I'm just going to read a few things. So it goes, honoring Roxanne Watson upon the occasion of the 10th anniversary of her heart transplant. Whereas it is the practice and the privilege of the New York State Senate to proudly honor remarkable people from around our great state who have managed to turn tragedy into success.
Nice.
And whereas attendant to such concern, I, New York State Senator David Carlucci, hereby honor Roxanne Watson upon the occasion of the 10th anniversary of her heart transplant on July 16th, 2010. And whereas Ms. Watson received a new heart in 2010 and has been and has been on a mission to educate people about the life-saving value of organ donation through her work with the New York's Campaign for Life and Donate Life New York. She has personally signed up more than 11,000 potential donors, believed to be a world record. Is that accurate?
11,571, but nobody's counting.
11,571.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
And then what's really cool is, you know, Donna, our county clerk, was on the line, and she's talking about how she signed up, but I don't think she counts as one of the 11,571, does she? Oh, she does?
We
she
count
does? Her. Okay, you count her? Because I think about all the, you know, the influence, right? Yeah. It's passing the legislation, it's getting the funding, it's making sure that those issues are addressed, but then you never know how your example is going to impact someone.
That's true.
And I think about, you know, I've been at so many different events with Roxanne and the stories that you tell, and, you know, I've heard different snippets of the stories at different times, and I think about how, wow, you know, I'm touched, but I think about how it might have impacted someone, and they tell someone, or just you know, you just never know.
You just never know.
So
thank
So it's just, it's really fitting, and I'm just, for me, it's an honor to know you.
Thank you so much.
And to have worked with you.
And vice versa. We've worked a lot together.
But I tell the story because it's, you know, it fits into no matter what we're trying to do. And obviously, this is a worthy cause that we know will save lives. But it's that tenacity, it's that persistence, it's that commitment to yourself. Right, you talk about being in the hospital bed and making that commitment to you and to your creator to say, hey, if I get through this,
I'm gonna do it.
And it's such an off the thing story. It's so awesome because it shows that any of us can, if we put our mind to it and if we have that goal, if we just put one foot after the other, you know, step by step, we can make a tremendous difference. And that's why I like to talk about that 11,571. But we know it's far greater than that. The impact is tremendous.
We hope so. That's why we have this show. And I say it every week, and I have to repeat it again. Thank you, Live On New York, for your sponsorship. But that's why we have this show and why we came to this station, because it was important for us to, you know, be part of a community, and that's what the station is all about. And we get to tell our stories. Nobody censors us, tells us what to say, and we're able to share with people all over the world. Even though this is a local station, we know for sure Emma in Australia is on. We know Karen in UK is out there. We know people all over the United States are listening, and they're sharing their stories. Every week we have people get in touch with us to say they want to share their stories, and that's why we do this show. It's important. It's part of Michael's legacy. There's no question about it. This happened because of the gifts that Michael gave. No other reason would I be sitting here. Or on radio, or on TV, any place, you know, all the things that we're able to do because of Michael. And we want to show people that these are the things that happen to you when you give life. Your family.
And think of the lives that you have saved throughout this journey and your excitement. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's, you know, like I tell all the time, and Senator Carlucci's heard it quite a few times, when I was in that bed and that source, God, whatever it was, came to me and said to me, you know, now you got a purpose. When I felt that I had that purpose, my life was easy. I get up every day, and it really literally is easy. It's a matter of what am I going to do today to further organ donation and heart health. Those are my two loves, and I'm able to do both of them every single day.
So you're definitely an inspiration.
Thank you so much.
That's Roxanne, important. What's the next decade look like?
Oh, God. It looks like a lot of stuff is going toward heart disease, I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not finished with organ donation. They go hand in hand for me.
Yep.
But it looks like I'll be doing a lot of work with Women Heart and American Heart Association.
What are some of the things that you've learned over this journey of the 10 years? I mean, obviously it's a lot to fit into a soundbite, but you know, what are the real takeaways? I mean, you've talked to, you know, over the 11,571 people, we're just talking about the people that you were successful.
Right.
You had a lot of no's. You had a lot of people that said, absolutely not.
Absolutely. But then there were some people that came back and said, I changed my mind.
Yep.
And that was the good part. I think the first thing I learned was the numbers of people waiting for organs. That devastated me when I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there were so many people, you know, and even though I did get a heart, most people are waiting for kidneys.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot about the kidney world with over 113,000, 114,000 people waiting right now. 90-something thousand of them are for kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot about organ donation. I was an organ donor before before I even, you know, became a recipient because my mother was a neurological nurse in the same hospital I wind up going to get my transplant. She worked at Montefiore Medical Center for 35 years. And she believed in organ donation because she saw people in comas for, you know, forever. And so she always told us when we were a kid that this is what you need to do. And we were donors. So that wasn't a big leap for us. And then the second most important thing I probably learned is about heart disease, especially in the African American community, that it's something that we suffer from.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of reasons why it happens, you know, and nothing, it's not blame. Some people are like, oh, blame the diet or whatever. I learned that it's not that. You might just be born into a family that has it, like my family.
The genetics, yeah.
Right, and I took care of myself. I worked all my life, you know. I worked hard. I took care of myself. I was an athlete. I was all of those things, and I still got sick. So I learned a lot about heart disease. And that's what I'm going to be working on as we go into the future.
Well, that's great. And what do you think it is in terms of when we talk about, you know, with organ donation, a lot of what we've talked about is just the awareness, being cognizant. I always like to say what I think is the greatest thing and why you've been successful is that personal connection, that you're actually asking the question.
Yes.
You personally asked. And when we did research and we passed some of the legislation that we passed in New York, what we found in other states where they've had high rates of success in terms of people enrolling in the program, some of these departments of motor vehicles and other, they personally ask the question.
Every single person.
And
right?
We want to do that in New York and we get such pushback. I'd like to see that become a reality where you personally ask, hey, would you like to be an organ donor? I know in New York, our culture, it's like, hey, get out of here. We're in and out.
But, check the box, get out of here.
DMV, you know, you might be losing people. They're like, get me out of here. But
5 hours, it turns you off.
But you see some of these rates. It's like, why can't we emulate that? And you've done that. You said, I'm not going to wait for a law. I'm not going to wait till I get a foundation supporting me. I'm going to go out and do it today.
Because we have to. When I was lucky enough to go spend some time in Texas to donate with the Donate Life Texas team and got to meet Joey Gase, NASCAR driver, and go to the race and all that other stuff, I saw a place that is just like totally dedicated. They were literally having, you know, they had electronic swipers at NASCAR. And they were literally walking up to people and saying, are you an organ donor? And they go, no. And they were like, okay, get out your license. Let's do it. Just like that. And people were just swiping their license, becoming organ donors. But it was that personal thing, like you said. It was a person asking a person.
Yes.
It wasn't me looking at a paper and checking a box.
Yes. Makes you think about it.
Right.
Makes
and they were like, oh. And then I was there and I had Michael's picture, which you guys know I carry for 10 years now, every place I go. And I was showing my picture. I was like, here, this is my donor. And they were like, well, who's that? And they didn't really understand what I was saying. They would say, your daughter or.
Right.
No, I said, no, this is my donor. I have his heart. And it would stop. Even if they were going to say no, they would stop and they would listen to the story.
Right.
And most likely they do sign up once you ask them. But it is that personal connection because this is a very personal thing.
Right.
And again, going back to why we started this show is we understood that. It was a very personal thing. And we invited people to come and tell their stories. And that's what we do every week. Someone tells their story. And we hope that that, you know, influences people. We know that we get lots of, you know, information and people feedback from all over the world that are listening, but we want to make sure that people are moved to action.
Right.
That's the main thing.
That's it. It might take a little longer for some people, but you plant that seed and it starts to grow, right?
Exactly. John, we don't have that much time left. Tell us what you want to tell us.
Oh, I was just thinking earlier, Senator, you were talking about the technology and the advancement of medically, but even with our advancements, there is no replacement of a personal, of a real heart. And that, I think, is so real of getting the word out that only a heart transplant can really fix and heal someone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. It is totally true.
And that's it. It's as we advance, you know, we become more sophisticated and more technological. It's still down to the basics that it's going to take people making that decision and having those hard conversations that will ultimately, because we can have the best doctors and the best technology in the world, but if we don't have people coming to that realization and making that decision, we really don't have anything.
Yep.
Exactly.
Mark? Mark?
You know, one final picture of kindness from the book.
Okay.
Was Michael was a devout Christian, a practicing believer in Jesus Christ. One of the recipients was Scott Taffet, who received both of Michael's lungs. And Scott identifies himself as a Jewish person. Mm-hmm. Scott and his wife had decided not to have children because Scott's health was so impaired. And after Scott received Michael's lungs, his health was so improved that he and his wife Stacy decided to have children.
Yes, that's powerful stuff, boy.
And they approached John and Jelaine to ask permission to name their firstborn child, to give their firstborn child's Hebrew name, Michaela, to be named after Michael.
That's amazing.
And then at the naming ceremony at the synagogue, John and Jelaine and all of Michael's sisters attended that ceremony and sat with Scott's family because they were all part of the same family.
Right. Amazing.
What a beautiful day that was. And, you know, again, I can say that life continues to give life.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful story.
It is. It is. And we thank you for the story. We are always, every day, we thank you for Michael's heart. And we thank your family for being so loving and always so willing at a moment's notice to share his story. And you just never say no. And that says a lot about your family and about the love that Michael gave to all of us and the five of us that I'm sure just as grateful, the other four just as grateful as I am for the gift of life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for checking us out. We have to go now. We'll have a link for this show later on, and you'll be able to listen. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
God bless you, Roxanne.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
AM 1700 WRCR, Ramapo, WRCR.com.